And now we come to that second scripture lesson, which is from the Gospel of Luke. We've been in Luke's Gospel now for some time, and we will be continuing through the season of Lent in Luke's version of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is from chapter 9. We're going to be beginning at verse 28 through 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. And as the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to them, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. And while they were speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Now, the story of the Transfiguration is put before us by the lectionary every year on this last Sunday before the season of Lent. Why? It's because the story illustrates the function of the Lenten season for us, for our journey of faith. The season of Lent is patterned after the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness being tempted. He had no sin and was fortified against temptation by complete righteousness. Yet, the Spirit impelled him to go out into the desert for this time of trial. His ordeal in the desert served to prove his humanity, that he was truly tempted just like you and me. But he overcame temptation by the word of God. Now, the Lenten season for us represents the process of sanctification that God is working in us through the work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a process whereby Christ is making each of us holy and righteous. Now, being holy means totally set apart for God's uses and God's purposes. Being righteous means that our sin is forgiven, erased completely from the record of our lives. Indeed, our God says, "I will throw them into the depths of the sea, never to be looked upon again." Now, we've studied this event before. It comes up, as I said, twice a year in the lectionary. We're familiar with the story. Jesus took three of his disciples to the top of a high mountain, and there Jesus' body and clothing became radiant with light. He's joined briefly by Elijah and Moses. And in these accounts of the Transfiguration, we're afforded the opportunity to see Jesus in his true glory as the Son of God. The gospel accounts all agree that the glory of God manifests itself in Jesus as light, an intense and radiant light. John's gospel associates Jesus as the light that came into the darkness, a light that the darkness could not overcome. Jesus indeed is the light of the world, the light that enters our lives and overcomes the darkness of sin. I've always had a problem with the disciples in this story. Peter, John, and James just did not have an idea of the gravity of the situation in which they found themselves. Luke tells us that they were sleepy. And we know that every time Jesus pauses to pray, we know that from the story of the Garden of Gethsemane, that somehow the disciples just can't stay awake. And here Jesus is on top of the mountain praying, and what do the disciples do? They fall asleep, of course. And they nearly missed the glory that was happening right in their midst. But somehow something woke them. And they see Jesus totally transfigured before them, glowing as Luke describes, as a light so intense, it's like the light of lightning. And then there's Peter. He said, oh gosh, Jesus, it's good for us to be here. Let's put up some tents and have a picnic. And he was answered by a cloud from heaven with a rebuke from Almighty God, the Father, saying, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." I sometimes wonder, what did Jesus see in these men? What was it, they can't stay awake when he's praying. They can't ever seem to grasp the things that he's teaching. They seem to be dense beyond all comprehension. And they seem to get everything wrong all the time. Yet Jesus took these three up there so that they would have this intense experience. I think about that. I think about how they fell short. And I think to myself, nah, I wouldn't be that way. But then I realize, yeah, I could. I could be just like Peter, James, and John. And then I ask myself, what does Jesus see in me? That he gives me the privilege of understanding and seeing his light in the world, that he gives me the opportunity to serve his church, that he continues to love me, to teach me, to forgive my sins, and care for me. And if I'm really honest, I realize that from the time that I met Jesus Christ, that I am being transformed. We're talking about Jesus' transfiguration. Well, we're talking about transformation is what he does in us. Les held up that lump of coal. Lumps of coal are interesting, aren't they? They show up at Christmas time, right? If you're naughty, you get coal in your stocking, right? But on Transfiguration Day, we're going to talk about coal being transformed from an old, dirty, black thing into a shining diamond. And that process is called sanctification, in the metaphor of the diamond. Finished diamonds are treasured because of the way they reflect and refract light. Do you ever get tired of looking at a diamond? If you just get a chance to sit down and look at it in the sunlight, how it plays with the different light in it does things with light that we could never imagine. But diamonds don't have that quality when they come out of the ground, do they? Diamonds are formed by intense heat and pressure deep in the earth and are pushed to the surface by volcanic activity. A rough diamond is just a rock. It may be somewhat translucent. We can see a little light through it, but not very much. It's mostly darkness. It just feels like any other rock that you might go out here in the parking lot and pick up. To be recognized as a diamond, that rock needs to come to the light. Just as a sinful human being needs to come to the light of Christ to be recognized as a diamond that can reflect and refract the light of Christ. But that's only the beginning of the process. When we come to Christ as diamonds in the rough, we might reflect his light in a dim way. But to truly sparkle with the light of Christ, we have to be cleaned and to be cut in precise ways. Only in a way that a master jeweler can accomplish. Again, I'm going back to the children's sermon. Leslie did a great job. It is the trials of our lives that cut us and polish us into what Christ would have us to be. When you reach that point, when you've had a difficulty, an illness, or just a hard time in life, and you look to heaven and you say, God, why? God might just say, because I need you to gleam a little bit brighter. I need you a little bit more reflective of the light of Christ. And that's unfortunately, that comes through painful, difficult life experiences. I came to know this in a strange way in my own children. I had a child I had three altogether. Two of them, nothing was ever a challenge. They were too smart, too strong, too whatever, for anything to give them much trouble in life. But I had another child. Had a hard time learning to read. And the other two did not make it very easy on that child. But I noticed that as years went by, the child that had a hard time learning to read became the best reader of all of them. He also had some physical problems. A little deafness in one ear, some vision problems that came along, that further challenged him, in academically and in life. But he became stronger. He became the wisest of the three. He became the one who achieves in life much better than the other two, who never really had that kind of challenge, never had to be polished and shaped by the difficult parts of their lives. And I realized this is the truth of why God allows things to happen to us that we would rather avoid. It starts right off when we become Christians. The Holy Spirit highlights our sin before us, holds up a mirror, and says, this is how dirty you are. This is how little light I can see through you. And you confess your sins. You do your best to enter into that process of sanctification. And it is a voluntary thing, by the way. You know, I've heard Christians say, boy, I never had such a hard time in my life until after I became a Christian. There's a lot of truth in that, because we become self-correcting sometimes by the power of the Holy Spirit. We look at self and we pay attention to what we're doing and how we're doing it. Does it reflect well on the love of God and Jesus Christ? Other people don't have that kind of a burden to carry around in life. But the Holy Spirit has held up a mirror. And he offers us the opportunity to be clean, absolutely scrubbed, perfectly pure and clean and white as snow, just by confessing our sins. Now, as I said a few minutes ago, and God promises that those sins, once confessed and once received by God, are cast into the depths of the ocean, never, ever to be revived again. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we are clean. Christ is that master jeweler. And the Spirit of Christ uses the experiences of our lives to cleave the various facets that will serve to give us clarity and give us fire as we reflect the light of Christ. I think about it in my own life. At age 17, I lost my mother suddenly. It was devastating. I never forget. I could not cry. I felt so shocked by her loss that I sat at the graveside and I could not cry at my mother's funeral. And then I questioned myself and I felt guilty after that. Why weren't you able to cry? This was your mom. That was a hard cleaving that Christ was doing on me that day. Several years later, I lost my first wife, suddenly again, the same way, and I'm saying, not again. That cleaving process is hard, it hurts. And we often cry out, oh God, why are you forsaking me? Sound familiar? Why are you allowing these trials and temptations in my life? But then you think about Jesus' suffering. He suffered so much more. Remember the movie that was so controversial several years ago, The Passion of the Christ? And everyone said it was just too awful, too graphically depicted the blood and the suffering of Christ. It's probably the nearest that human beings have come to understanding exactly what Jesus went through when he was crucified. His suffering was deep and incomprehensible. So our suffering pales in comparison. And for that suffering, we get to receive and reflect and refract the light of Christ. To bring others to the light. We are so honored to be vessels that carry the light of Jesus Christ into our world. He has chosen us for that very purpose. And we have bent our wills to his for that very purpose. The story of the Transfiguration is the story of Jesus revealing the light to Peter, James, and John. They were diamonds in the rough. They didn't know how to deal with what they were seeing. But in the coming years of their lives, God worked with them, cleaved them into remarkably clear and sparkling diamonds of faith, who revealed to the whole world the light that they witnessed on the Mount of Transfiguration. These ordinary fishermen, ordinary men, were cleaved into sparkling diamonds of faith who reflected the light of Christ, and the world received that light. May we be blessed to do so as well. To him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you have made us your own. We did not stand on that mountain with the disciples physically, but we are there, we are with you in spirit. We would love to gleam with the light of Christ from our very being. And please make it so through the power of the Holy Spirit. Cleave us, polish us, and make us the best bearers of the light. For we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.